I'm supposed to preach about gifts today, and I just sat through Sunday school class and thought, oh yeah, I should have said that. And now I hear Hope's message, I think, oh yeah, I should have said that. So hopefully there's still something to say. What's that? Okay, good, good. Let's join together in an opening prayer. Generous and gracious God, all that we have and all that we are comes from you. You have gifted us with time, talents, and treasures so that your love may take shape in this world. Renew in us the promise we have made to uphold your church with our gifts. Teach us to give with joy, to serve with humility, and to share your grace freely, as Christ has shared life with us. Amen. The scripture lesson today comes from the New Testament letter of 1 Peter, chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Let us listen for God's word. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourself for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, an elementary school applied and received a large grant for the purpose of creating a program for gifted students. Once the program was set up, a notice went out to all the teachers asking them to nominate gifted students for the program. As the teachers reported back, four or five students that might benefit the most, one response stood out. Miss Green nominated 26 students. In fact, she had nominated everyone. And when they brought her in and asked what she was thinking, she smiled and she started to explain. Well, she said, I nominated Billy because he always says things that make us laugh. Shirley I nominated because she's the fastest runner. Peter knows the name and size of every dinosaur. Greta smiles at every person she meets in the hallway. Robbie finger paints beautiful pictures. Patty has a lovely voice. And on she went. Now, Miss Green may not express it in these words, but she was acting out a verse from our scripture lesson this morning. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Today is the third sermon in the series, Living Our Promises, Growing in Grace, and it's based on the five membership vows of the United Methodist Church: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And today, as our scripture verse indicates, we want to talk about gifts. This past week, I happened to catch an interview with someone on TV who was studying great social and political movements. What sparks them, and how do they grow to have an impact on society? And I'm going to paraphrase what I heard this person say. She said, as I have studied all the great movements that have taken place in recent years, trying to define what it was that made them take hold, I'm finding that almost always it was not any single thing or any single leader. Rather, it was a whole bunch of people contributing the best way that they could with what they had. All those things came together to spark a great movement. Now again, I don't know if this person would ever use this language, but what a great illustration of what the verse from Peter says. Everyone contributes the gift that they have received. Perhaps the Apostle Paul said it most effectively when he talked about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. He wrote to the church in Corinth, "You are the body of Christ and individually members of it." And then he went on to talk about how the different parts of the body work together. Everyone is part of it. Yes, there are famous leaders. There was Paul, there was Peter, there was James. But those leaders would not have much impact without the unknown people who complete the body. Someone will be the ear, someone the hand, someone the mouth. The body needs each one. It even needs, I suppose, the pinky toe and whatever this thing is that hangs down the back of your throat. The point is, we are all in Miss Green's class. Every one of us is gifted. Every one of us is precious. And we are benefiting of all of that as we sit here this morning from all the gifts that have been shared. I was tempted to begin to name some names here, but I couldn't possibly cover them all. And even if I knew all of them, and someone whose contribution is so vital would be left out. I'm just going to say that dozens upon dozens of people contributed their gift to make this gathering at Scott possible today. Some of these contributions we see front and center. Others we would see if we looked a little deeper, and others we would never know because they're behind the scenes. And many of them don't even happen this morning. They've happened all week. Not to mention the smiles and the encouragement and the kind gestures that are happening all through these pews and all through these halls today. People sharing their gifts. Last week, we talked about the membership vow of presence and our pledge that we're going to show up for each other. We're going to be here on Sunday mornings and other times. This morning's topic provides the context of that. The thing is, if you're not here, your gift is not here. And all of us are a little less because of it. And to all of you who have pitched in hundreds of ways to make this church so great, thank you. You promised, and you came through, and you are part of something that is truly beautiful. And God bless you for your faithfulness. Well, so far we all feel good. We should feel good about the next part too. But the truth is, not everybody does. Because when we talk about bringing our gifts to church, part of that is our financial gifts. And that gets more sensitive. I always like the story about the two men who were lost in the desert, struggling to survive. And one said to the other, "You don't even seem concerned. Aren't you worried that we're going to die out here?" The other guy replied, "Nah, we're not going to die here. It's time for my church to send out their financial pledge cards, and they always find me." Well, here's the skinny about money. Jesus talked about it constantly. More than half of his parables, the stories that he told, were about the dangers of money and the need for the rich to share with the poor. He talked about money twice as much as he talked about prayer or faith. And I kind of get it that I don't want to talk about my money in church. But the simple truth is that we can't discuss anything close to the full teaching of Jesus unless we talk about money. And the reason really is simple. Because money can be the biggest obstacle to faith. You cannot serve God and money, said Jesus. It's easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven, said Jesus. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. A young man came to Jesus and asked how he could find faith. He was a good man. He tried to live right. He tried to follow all the commandments, but something was missing. And Jesus said it plainly. You got to let go of your money. You can't hold on to all that money and have the faith that you desire. That's the message for the well-to-do. There is also a message for the poor. Blessed are you who are poor, said Jesus, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And he exemplified that by pointing to a poor widow who, although she only had 2 pennies, she gave it all to God. That kind of trust will be blessed, said Jesus. God provides. And I know it's easy for me to say this because I know where all of my meals are coming from this week. I suppose I'm just kind of a messenger, because Jesus said to those who are hungry, which I am not, blessed are you who are hungry, you will be filled. I don't know everything he meant there, but I think it has a lot to do with what happens every Wednesday out here in the parking lot, down in the fellowship hall. You know, every church has to send statistics in to the United Methodist Church, and one of the stats we send in is how many people sit in these pews. And we do all right there. I always wish that we could also report how many bags of food sit in these pews? Not to mention boxes in the hallway. I think we would probably blow up the reporting system. So what does that all mean practically? Well, as individuals and as couples and as households, we all make a very personal decision about how to return our financial resources to God. There is, of course, a very material side of that. We have inherited this church facility to care for. We have an excellent pastor and paid staff that we support. We have ministries in the community and ministries around the world through the United Methodist system. All that is part of a budget that represents our ministry together. And that is important ministry, and it takes our generous financial gifts to support it. That's an important point. But in a way, it's not the most important point. Because the main point is our relationship to God and how our giving reflects our gratitude and our trust and our compassion. Certainly, God does not ask any of us to go without the essentials of life. On the other hand, God challenges us to give in a way that it represents some commitment on our part and maybe even some sacrifice. The traditional teaching of the church is 10% of our income goes to the Lord's work, and some people can do that easily, and some people can't. God knows our hearts and our situations. But having said that, wherever you are, I invite all of us to prayerfully consider a step forward as we make that important decision. There's an old story about a chicken and a pig talking in the barnyard. The chicken said, "Oh, our family is having ham and eggs for breakfast tomorrow. Doesn't that make you feel good?" And the pig said, "Well, that's easy for you to say. All you have to do is make a contribution. I have to make a commitment." But when we fill out our pledge cards and gather them next week, thank you for your contributions. Beyond that, thank you for your commitments of gifts and time and energy and talents and financial commitment. As I heard someone say just recently, don't give until it hurts. Give until it feels good. Because I believe that God will bless every offering of gifts and every giver. You can't outgive God. Amen. Barbara will lead us in prayer.
I can do it from here, I feel like. Let us pray. Awesome God, to whom we lift our prayers, all praise, reverence, and adoration to you just for who you are. Loving God, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipotent, always present, omniscient, ever-knowing, seeing all, loving us just as we are, even though we are not perfect. You know us completely, for you knitted us together in our mother's wombs. Our frames were not hidden from you when we were made in the secret place. Your eyes saw our unformed bodies, and you ordained all our days, each written in your book. How precious are your thoughts to us, O God. Highest praises to you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We rejoice and we delight in you, and we praise you more than wine. Holy God, we are thankful, we are grateful, that you are not a far-off God, that you are within each of us, as close as our heartbeat, and with each breath we breathe in your Holy Spirit. You give us life, you give us breath, and good health. Help us to be more aware of your presence. Hear now, O Lord, our plea. Listen to our cries. Give ear to our prayer to keep us from evil and to take refuge in you alone. Keep us as the apple of your eye and hide us in the shadow of your wings to protect us from the wicked who assail us, from our enemies who surround us. Keep us from temptation that can ensnare us, from the spiritual forces of this dark world. We ask for your wisdom, your guidance to lead us in our daily lives, to partner from the moment we rise from sleep, where you have lovingly restored our souls, given us a new day, a new life, a new joy, a new hope, yet to be unveiled. Each day you offer us a fresh start in all the days come going forward. We ask, O Lord, not only for our lives, but for the lives of all people. We lift up concerns and desires in prayer to you, who cares for all people, things in this world you have created. We are thankful and grateful for answered prayers, for touching the lives of others with blessing upon blessing in ways only you know. Listening and loving God, as we move our focus from ourselves, we lift to you our community, other churches, for those in need, for those who have trouble making ends meet, for those out of work, for those with health issues, with those dealing with depression, those without hope. For our church leaders and leaders of other churches, leaders of our state, our nation, and our world. We thank you for the many gifts that you have graciously bestowed upon us when you knitted us together in our mother's wombs. The gifts you have given each of us to use for your glory, love, forgiveness, grace, mercy, peace, encouragement, teaching, leadership, wisdom, healing, music, all of our gifts and our talents. We ask, O Lord, that out of your gracious riches, that in your goodwill, you will strengthen us according to your riches and power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that in all things you, O Lord, will be praised through your Son, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. And now let us pray as the church from the gathering prays each week. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.